This is Mae Brussel, in case you turned in at the beginning of the program or didn't get the name or are not familiar with the program. The program is called World Watchers, and it's broadcast number 705, June the 10th, 1985, and this is the second half of a one-hour broadcast. May the 20th, 1985, Newsweek had a quotation of the attorney that I think I had a part of smoking out with the help of Charles and Brian. Thanks to them over the years, this Felix Steinecker, and I had this on the air before May 20th, Joseph Mengele still has a lawyer, according to Newsweek, in Frankfurt named Fritz Steinecker, and recently the attorney went beyond a no comment, which evidently he's been asked before. Yes, I have represented Mengele, he said, and I still do represent him. End quote. Does that sound like a man's been dead since 1979? They want to get him off their back? That sounds a little outrageous. Now, just to cite again, and I've had it before, May 1981, there was the story in Life magazine, and it was done by a lot of people with careful detail, that Joseph Mengele was in Westchester County, Mount Cisco in New York, north of New York City. Now, this is important, the time period here. In 1979, because this person who was supposed to have died in 1979, on paper, died, and they could pull that out later, thanks to the offices and the man who funds the Mengele operation in Germany, the date is important because he could have then left Brazil in 1979 and gone on up to Westchester County where he was seen, because officially he's going to be dead through these people that are operating now, and he could go on from there even to Switzerland and into Canada, as stated before, they now believe he is in Canada. And this article came out in 1981 that in 1979 he was in upstate New York, and also see at that time period he would be dead in Brazil. But he went back to Paraguay many times, in Argentina and Brazil. If he was in New York in 79, he didn't stay there, but it was a place that he could visit easily and travel around ever since. I cited last week the story from Mr. Timmerman, and he's not a person who throws names around and says things lightly. He came out from Argentina, a former editor there, and then moved to Israel when the military dictatorship let him out of prison. And he said that Joseph Mengele was now based in Uruguay, 1981. So Mengele wasn't dead in 79, and I don't think Mr. Timmerman would have reason to lie. Now, one of the big keys to this story that I've cited before years ago on earlier broadcasts that I bring up again, it's very, very important. It was published June 22nd, 1979. Now, the stories of this burial were February 1979, this quick drowning and burial. Out of Rio de Janeiro, there was a very important thing that happened, and this is from the Washington Post. The Brazilian Supreme Court Wednesday denied extradition petitions that were filed by four nations to send Gustav Frank France, F-R-A-N-Z, Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R, back to Europe. Germany, Poland, Austria, and Israel had wanted him as a member of the SS who ran two concentration camps. One was Sobibor and the other was Treblinka. Now, while he ran Treblinka, SS Karl Wolf ran Treblinka with him and worked with William Donovan and Alan Dulles of the OSS simultaneously while he was running Treblinka with Wagner. That's how important Wagner is. And then SS Karl Wolf went down to Argentina, where they had a quick burial there at the time that people were beginning to be aware of his presence and wanting him just a year and a half ago. Now, this article says the Austrian-born farm worker, and they were all farm workers, great farmers, now 68, this is in 1979, turned himself over to the São Paulo police in May of 78. Now, that's very important. It was May 1978 that he said, "Protect me." Now, these are the same police that are doing the autopsy now on this body that's going on in São Paulo, Brazil. Okay? He goes to them and he says, "Protect me," because he and several fugitive Nazis attended a neo-Nazi congress held near here to celebrate the birthday of Adolf Hitler. That was in 1978, April of 78. Wagner's identity later was confirmed in a dramatic police state confrontation, and he said that he was the man from Sober Bar that they wanted, as if they didn't know that. Now, April 1978, there was this birthday party, and this man was photographed there. He was photographed with another man who the headlines in Brazil in the newspapers had in Buenos Aires at the same time, and I'd love to go and get those early papers from the South American country of Brazil that stated that Adolf Hitler was alive and attended that birthday party. Adolf Hitler and Wagner and there were a whole large group of Nazis there that were identified, and Wagner got nervous and went to the police department for protection. The very police that knew about the birthday party of Hitler, that knew about the top Nazis, are in charge exclusively of that autopsy now. Now, he went to the police department for protection. In the aftermath, Farrago's book that's so filled with information, on page 262, he talks about John McCloy being worried about the resurgence of Nazis. He was the high commissioner in Germany who let all the top Nazis out, the bankers, and we don't have to run them all down now, but even quotes John McCloy's concern about Nazism. And in this book, he says that the London Times was having an Armistice Day cemetery, and when the wreath was being laid down by Queen Elizabeth, a man broke in the crowd yelling, "Heil Hitler." That in the United States, in New Orleans, this is the home base of David Ferry and Clay Shaw and Guy Bannister, in New Orleans, the police scooped out a Nazi stormtrooper club complete with swastikas, photographs of Hitler, a cache of hidden arms, a program of violence, which is continuing and linked again to the Aryan Nations, to Richard Butler, and the worldwide Nazi connections. And its founder announced at the time of his arrest, their leader, "I have information that the Fuhrer is alive in Argentina, and I'm going to join him there." This was on a worry about resurgence of Nazis, and it had to do with New Orleans and Nazis. Now, June 21st, 1971, there was another story from the Associated Press. Brazil won't extradite the accused Nazi. This came out, as I say, in 1979, and it tells how he fled to Brazil in 1950, and he was living on a farm at Atibaí, A-T-I-B-A-I, and he was identified by a photograph taken in a birthday commemoration of the Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler that was held in Brazil. He turned himself in when he heard the police were looking for him. Some photographers came, and a couple of these men, allegedly Hitler, threw their hands over their face. They broke in some way and took pictures, and Wagner went to the police and said, "Help me." None of the countries wanted him, and they didn't want him because that birthday party, I believe, is a key to the lot that happened afterwards. This was in 1979, April of 79. Another story, ex-Nazi officer commits suicide in 1980, a year later. Franz Wagner, who said he only obeyed orders at the Nazi camps, allegedly killed himself. He was in control of the police, and they put him in a mental hospital, in quotes, to protect him from his suicidal tendencies. But Mr. Wagner, an Austrian and former officer in Hitler's SS elite guard, took his own name, his own life. And again, it repeats that he was recognized. And here it says, Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal identified him from a newspaper photograph taken at the birthday party for Hitler near Rio de Janeiro. Wagner turned himself in after the police wanted him. He turned himself in when the picture was taken. Wiesenthal wasn't the one behind this, or if he was, why didn't he go for everyone else in the picture? If Wiesenthal has the picture of that birthday party, then he has a picture of a man who could be Adolf Hitler, because that's when that famous picture was taken. Wagner turned himself in, and this was what was going on in Brazil, and this man dies in custody of the police who he went to for protection. And they are the people doing the autopsy on the Mengele body in the same city with the same people. And then the Wiesenthal Center sent out a bulletin in 1981 from their offices in Vienna saying that on October 4th, 1980, Wagner, who lived on a friend's farm, finally succeeded to end his own life by stabbing himself with a knife. So the case is closed on Wagner. Now, getting on to Mingley and some of the horrendous stories that have been in the news, and to untangle them if I can in this short time, just a review going up to June with about five items. One, January 85 this year, the United States may investigate the Mengele case because they have information that he used another name and also was in Canada and had a Canadian visa and a pseudonym under was his pseudonym, and a visa from Buenos Aires under a pseudonym in 1962. Now, this one family is saying that he lived with them until 1961, and there's evidence that he was in Canada at that time. Now, listen to the logic of this. A person working to find Nazi war criminals under, I guess, Rabbi Marvin Heyer, the dean of the Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles studying Nazi war crimes, had a quotation, and they refer to Heyer and Wiesenthal Center, of a former inmate of Auschwitz who recalls his memory of Joseph Mengele. I just want to give you this quotation to show you the twisted logic of some of these people and what is going on if you have difficulty understanding it. This is a former inmate of Auschwitz, evidently, who's helping Wiesenthal and Dr. Rabbi Marvin Heyer on some of their work. He recalled on the eve of his departure for Poland for a commemoration this year of the 40th anniversary of the liberation of the camp. This is 1985. He remembers the Nazi doctor who was an enigmatic figure who protected his human guinea pigs and showed a bizarre interest in Jewish life. The former inmate from the concentration camp, his name is Mark Berkowitz. He's a furniture salesman from New York City. He said he and his 12-year-old twin sister were experimental subjects of Dr. Mengele, and that he suffered from spinal injections from Dr. Mengele. At the same time, Mr. Berkowitz said that the doctor wanted to keep us safe when they wanted to experiment on us. He said that the doctor, Dr. Mengele, liked Jewish mannerisms and attitudes and delighted in using certain Jewish expressions and affectionately nicknaming the youth for a Jewish sage. One day, he recalled, this is Mr. Berkowitz, just ready to go to Europe on the anniversary of freeing the concentration camps, he recalled that he was in a camp garden picking Brussels sprouts for Dr. Mengele's dinner. My Brussels sprouts, I think. Okay, I call the people who listen to World Watchers and do research and become lawyers and journalists and so forth my Brussels sprouts. They have discussion groups. He was picking Brussels sprouts for Dr. Mengele's dinner when he noticed a column of women marching through the dust to the gas chamber. Among them, he saw his own mother. Dr. Mengele saw this, and he gave me, this is Mr. Berkowitz, a message to carry so I could follow my mother to the gas chamber. He's growing Brussels sprouts for Joseph Mengele, and he gets a pass so he can walk his mother to the gas oven, and she's put in the oven. Then he comes back and works for Mengele, and he comes back to the United States and sells furniture in New York City. Can you imagine? This kind of horrendous human story that comes out of tangling with these people and what we do for our lives. I don't know what he was supposed to do. Maybe he should have walked into the oven with his mother, but he is saying the sense of humor, the kindliness of Mengele, he softened his attitude and he's growing his Brussels sprouts. Heaven help the planet Earth if there's more of this kind, and I know there are around. February the 10th. Is another story from London Times. Joseph Mengele under military guard. He's been sighted in Paraguay and on the border near Brazil in the village of Volendam. I might have mentioned this before on the air. He's been seen at Lorelli's further south along the Panara River. This is going on London Times 1985. It doesn't sound like Mengele is very dead. And President Stroessner, whose family comes from Bavaria village near Mengele's home, near Gunzburg, the town of Gunzburg, has said that Mengele's hasn't been seen since 1949, but this article goes on that he's visible in areas of Paraguay that border Brazil and Argentina, and he makes trips to South America, and he travels, it said he's made travels with another former Nazi who lives in Guayra near Brazil, G-U-A-Y-R-A, near Brazil. And he was last seen by a small number of the German Mennonites in an austere religious sect in the farms in the jungle. I had said that he would be found in the farms of the jungles of Brazil. at the current time, not in Paraguay. That's what I told Ralph Blumenthal of the New York Times. Now, I did mention the links in Portugal, that he was in Portugal in 1980. Senator Alphonse D'Amato has documents, along with Arlen Specter, Senator Arlen Specter, postcards from Portugal, Christmas cards from Joseph Mengele visiting in Portugal. Hardly dead in 1979. And February 20th, the Los Angeles Herald has a story. Dr. Mengele lived in Paraguay as a beekeeper, and it goes on to, this is the important story that hinges the looking for Mengele that escalated after all the time that I had spent for 2.5 years on the Mengele story. February the 20th was the hinge pin of a lot of this investigation, because a man who is a defendant in jail, Ricardo Riefenstahl, spelled like the German photographer, Hitler's famous photographer, R-I-E-F-E-N-S-T-A-H-L. He's a German-born beekeeper, and he said that he shared Mengele's residence in Paraguay with Joseph Mengele down in Paraguay. He had told Rabbi Heyer from the Wiesenthal Center. And it was when he gave the evidence there that he also revealed the drug trafficking and the narcotics trafficking. And the, when he brought in the cocaine trafficking, Riefenstahl is in jail in Bonn for his involvement in cocaine trafficking, and he's been questioned about it. That was the link of the cocaine to the Klaus Barbie that I was talking about, that then forced the powers that be at the Wiesenthal Center and in Germany and in Frankfurt to have meetings for 2 months and to smoke out Mr. Fritz Steinecker. It was the arrest of Ricardo Riefenstahl and his talking about Mengele and the narcotics connection that smoked this whole thing out to a head. Very important links that opened up this whole story. Now, briefly, just running down what has happened in the last few days, because the cocaine documents then were produced after Mr. Riefenstahl talked in February of 27th, the Los Angeles Times, then had the story of the CIA admitting they had documents that Mengele was, in fact, in drug traffic. Then in May of 85, just 2 weeks ago, a West German and Luxembourg investigator went to an office of a Texas businesswoman, and they confiscated a photograph, supposedly of Mengele. She owns a water purification business that takes her around the world. I don't want to get into the John Hinckley family and their water wells, their plans for Guatemala, or Dr. Peter Byrne and is working with World Water and the United Nations now. I don't want to digress from Mengele. But this woman takes her activities to war criminal Joseph Mengele with a water purification project. And they ran into her office and got certain documents of hers in May 22nd. Now, another article coming out of the Washington Times, I have three stories of Washington Times. You know, Mr. de Borsgrave has offered that huge $1 million reward, and I've talked about Reverend Moon and their interest in locating people who know where Mengele is because of Moon's money in Uruguay and in South America and working with the people around Mengele, if not directly with him. They had a story May 22nd. Mr. Wiesenthal claimed Mengele was sighted in Paraguay in a settlement of Captain Miranda outside Hanoi, H-O-N-E-A-E-N-A-U, Ho-Anau, I guess it would be spelled, H-O-H-E-N-A-U, as late as July 84. And Mr. Wiesenthal was going to ask West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl to prepare to meet with General Alfredo Stroessner in July or as soon as possible this year. Now, this is May 22nd. In the Washington Times, Wiesenthal is forcing Helmut Kohl, and that is about the time that the West German government, I'm sure, was ready to pull out the records and try to push a dead Mengele, because the Bonn government now wants to end the case and end the running. And as the Israeli intelligence said, they don't want the publicity anymore. This was the time to end the war memories, and they could officially declare him dead. And Wiesenthal was asking Kohl, Helmut Bitburg Kohl, to meet with Stroessner. Now, Stroessner said, I'll come up and see you. He's from Bavaria. He is the dictator of Paraguay, the man who is housed and would know everything or as much as he needs to know about Joseph Mengele. Just this week, Stroessner canceled his visit to Germany. Richard von Weizsäcker, the president of Germany, didn't want to be seen shaking hands with him at this time. This was going on during the Bitburg exposés that Stroessner was coming. The Mengele story was heating up. They always had what they thought was a Trump card. Stroessner has canceled his visit. Now, May 28th, Beat Clarsfield went to Paraguay to have an audience and to run full-page ads to ask people to have a part of these millions of dollars reward. She was turned down, and she was told at that time, according to the Washington Times, that he was close to the Brazilian border. The people told her he was there. They didn't want money, but they told her he was there, and she was putting pressure on Mr. Stroessner, who was going to fly to Germany. Help me, help me. And Mr. Cole says, we've done it, we've done it. We've got a body. You don't have to come. Mengele's down here. Everything's all right. And they were ready to pull what they did in Nazi Germany, hiding teeth and skeletons as early as 1945 that they could pull out in 1972 to prove that Bormann and Hitler's doctor were dead. Long plan to have these grave arrangements, and I do want to. I say I'm not going to have enough time to detail it piece by piece, but I'd be sure to believe I'll be doing it next week because I've spent a lot of time on it trying to make it clear for you. But this is May 28th, 1985. In the Washington Times again, another story. Hot lead surfaces on Mengele by the Justice Department. Our own Justice Department of the United States, Mr. Scheer, is going to be reporting hot leads on Mengele. Now, as soon as they said they had a body there, he was seen on television running down to Brazil saying, we have a particular interest. The United States has an interest in this case. Well, you better believe they have an interest. If it involves Edgar Buell or John DeLorean or Edwin Meese with his contacts to the DeLorean case or Gordon Novell, and the Swiss banks, and Mr. Fritz Steinecker, and then to the Hollywood connections to Johnny Carson and all the interweaving of the John DeLorean story and Klaus Barbie trial, you better believe the United States has an interest in this case. So there was an interview with Mr. Scheer, and hot leads were surfacing, and they quoted the London Times that said he was living in Paraguay, dividing time between a jungle hotel and a heavily guarded log cabin. Mr. Scheer, along with a representative of the U.S. Marshal Service, went to Frankfurt to meet with Germans and Israelis. Now, that was May 28th that they frantically went there. And, of course, I was sending out by April 22nd to Washington, D.C., to the White House. I never heard from them about Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger and the fraud that has been perpetuated on the American people. So Mengele was reported with his nephew in New York in 1979. He was supposedly left Paraguay officially in 79, but goes back and forth. And the trace for Mengele then began frantically with the breaking into a home and then several admissions in Brazil. Yes, we housed them. And this is the way the story has developed. I'll take it in chronological order, as I say, this week and next week for you. June the 6th, 1985, San Francisco Examiner, and of course, nationwide. Romeo R-O-M-E-U Tuma, T-U-M-A, the head of the federal police in San Paulo, is 90% that Joseph Mengele is buried there, that he died on a beach February the 2nd, 1979. He arrived in Brazil 1969 or 70 and is buried under the name Wolfgang Gerhardt. The next day, this is June the 7th, the San Jose Mercury Knight Rider. It shows how they smashed into the grave and handpicked the bones. Alas, poor Yorick. We were looking at Hamlet. They held the skull aloft. This is identical to what they did when they exhumed the Martin Bormann, alleged Martin Bormann skull and the doctor's skull. They held them in the air. Here's the skull, so therefore it is Mengele. Very logical. And they said that the name that he had used when he lived in Brazil was Mr. Gerhardt, Wolfgang Gerhardt, but that Mr. Gerhardt had died in Paris in 1977. He gave his identity card to Joseph Mengele, and then he went to Paris and he died. Of course, a discrepancy comes up later because the San Jose Mercury also prints that one story was that he had drowned and was found. The real Gerhardt had actually been killed in 1977 in Paris and in a car accident And then another story that he died in Austria 6 months before Mengele's name had surfaced using his name. So that in 1968, he was supposed to have had a car accident in Austria. That's version one. And version two, according to the San Jose Mercury, one was the LA Times about the car accident in Austria. And then the San Jose Mercury had that he died in Paris in 1977. So he had two deaths. You can have your choice, Austria or Paris. The first story, as I say, that he died in Paris and that he gave his identity card to the Bossarts, to a man who actually was Joseph Mengele, and that was altered to match Mengele, and that he had returned back to Austria, and that the chief prosecutor, Hans Hauelsen, H-A-U-E-L-S-E-N, said that the story of Mengele started to break when the police were called in Germany, and they called then the authorities in Brazil, and they told them that somebody in Germany had a friend down from in Gunzburg, Germany, Mengele's hometown, had a friend down in Brazil who had letters and addresses and phone numbers of a family named Bossert living in Brazil. The German authorities called Brazil and said they located a man who had these names. Now, the man they located is the very man who was the courier for the money going down to Joseph Mengele, Hans Sedlmeier, S-E-D-L-M-E-I-R. He was the manager of Mengele's tractor factory, and he worked for Dieter Mengele and his other nephew who ran the factory. He provided the names of the families who would give the pictures and proof that Mengele lived in Brazil. Now, how cute is that? That the man who was managing and disseminating this money, Mr. Hans Sedlmeier, would tell the German police to call Brazil and go to these two homes, and there you would find the people where Mengele stayed. That Gitta Stammer was one of those people whose family name and address were in the books, and this is where the telltale diary is to be located, and the handwriting and the pictures. Now, nothing would be better than for them to find Mengele officially dead, particularly with the heat that's coming on now. I don't think they ever thought it would develop like this. So Hans Sedlmeier, the manager of the Mengele tractor firm, the tractory factory in Gunzburg, Germany, told the police in Germany to go to Brazil and take these two homes, and there you will find where Mengele stayed. Now, why would he be turning in his friend Mengele? He's sending money to him. He's delivering 400,000 at a time down there to Joseph Mengele. So why at this time is he saying, go down there? And the police go there, and there's pictures and letters and diaries, and yes, there's a certificate, and yes, this man drowned in 79, and oh yes, we buried him. We went swimming with him, and he happened to drown, and Mr. Bossert happened to be swimming with him when his head went under. And the best friend and the employee of the Mengele factory, not an outsider, is telling you where to find the home and the telltale diary, and that's how the story broke. And the family in Germany, in Brazil rather, who gave him the safe house, housed him there. Now, sure, there's handwritten notes. There's a book on genetics. There's a picture of the man. Why not? His son, Rolf, went down there in 1977, 2 years before he allegedly had died, but he might have been living at the safe house. But he didn't live with these people. They gave him a home away from them on an alleged farm, so he didn't pay any rent, and he gave away a lot of money. And then his son allegedly comes down to take back the belongings when he's dead, the diary, the pictures, and all the clothes and items. Well, if he went down to collect them, why would they be there now? Why would there be a trace of him, except they need it later? Now, seeing a photograph of Joseph Mengele, having fingerprints of him down there, doesn't mean he's dead. You can have a diary he wrote. You can have a book on genetics. You can have his favorite Mozart record. Sure, he stayed in those safe houses from time to time. And the one safe house, he might have stayed there, this 1979 picture period, when Wagner and Hitler and other top Nazis, and I don't want to confuse the Hitler issue, but that date and that event has been clear for me and for some of you, you know, I've been talking about for a long time. Now, the day of the burial of Mr. Gerhardt, the cemetery administrator wanted to open the casket, but he didn't succeed. They said, you can't see what's in the casket. It had no autopsy. It was buried without an autopsy. and they weren't able to open the casket. Those are two reports from the San Francisco Examiner and the San Jose Mercury, the first two. The Ralph Blumenthal in the New York Times, June the 7th, has a story how this fast-moving development appeared to catch the Special Investigation Unit unawares, despite assertions of close cooperation with West Germany, and the documents came from the home of Hans Sattelmeyer, who I mentioned, a former factory manager for the Mengele family in Gunzburg. Mr. Scherer and the United States government were caught completely by surprise. The Mengele employee and the family decided to use this time bomb, such as that burial of Martin Bormann, the same kind of fraud. I'm running out of time now. I'll get back with this story next week to discuss the techniques by which they tried to pull this off. This is Mae Brussel in Pacific Grove, California. You take care, and we'll continue on this subject.